Monday night, May 6th at the Hyatt Regency in San Francisco, you're invited to join athletes and celebs at the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame Enshrinement Dinner. Be there to celebrate this year's class featuring Olympic swimmer Jenny Thompson, San Jose Earthquakes legend Chris Wondolowski, Niners Super Bowl hero John Taylor, Sharks icon Patrick Marleau, and the architect of the Giants dynasty, Brian Sabian. Be a part of this star-studded evening benefiting Special Olympics Northern California. To purchase tickets, visit bashof.org. That's BASHOF.org.
You're listening to the Sharks Audio Network. Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
The Sharks are forced back behind the road net. Gregor drops it for Burns. The Sharks start to take off. Burns feeds to the left. Here comes Gregor. Sharks skating left to right in the power play. Couture to the blue line. Tried to get zone entry. Gregor reach in, grabs it. Stick handles, gives to Couture, who shoots. They made. Rebound, Reedy. Score! Scott Reedy, a backhand shot. On the rebound of that opportunity, the Sharks have scored in the power play. They're up 1-0. Rebound, Reedy, who's got a goal already tonight. Grabbing it, getting checked hard by Voracek on the far side of the ice. Sillinger also in there, but the Sharks dig it free. Chmielewski buys some time, then shoots to the net. Save made. Rebound. Score! Scott Reedy batted that baby out of the air and slammed it home. It's his second goal of the game. It's his fifth of the year, and the Sharks lead the Blue Jackets 3-0.
Dan Ruzanowski bringing us in as we get ready to chat with Scott Reedy, who as a rookie last year scored 7 goals and added 2 assists for the San Jose Sharks in 35 games, in addition to playing 38 games for the Barracuda while scoring 18 goals and adding 9 assists. It is a big offseason for Reedy as he tries to establish himself as a regular for the Sharks, and we sat down on the morning of Wednesday, May 18th, to talk about the season that was and the offseason ahead. Scott, man, you played in a lot of games this year, 73 between the Barracuda and the Sharks. How does the body feel at this point in the middle of May with a couple weeks off the ice?
Yeah, it's funny you mention that because, going from college, you only play 30 or so games. So it was a lot different playing that many games in a season. So it was, it was definitely tough on the body, but it was good to get a couple weeks off here and just kind of recoup and try to get to feeling 100% again.
Nice. I remember after one of the games we did an interview, and I remember you had, ice packs and all the fun stuff going. And I always think people like hear those terms. They're like, yeah, Scott Reedy, he gets into the tight spaces, the dirty goals. And it's like, when I see a guy like you after the game, I'm like, yeah, that's not a joke. Like, that is a banging, bruising mentality to try and get in front of the crease and fight for positioning and, either be at the right place at the right time, get a tip. Does that part of your game kind of get overlooked? Because people always want to talk about what you do, but maybe they don't acknowledge the reality of what that means.
Yeah, exactly. I think, it definitely takes a toll on your body if you want to play in those areas and score those goals. And, that's a big part of my game. So, I got to take advantage of that. But it definitely takes a toll on your body. And, playing 73 games like that can be tough for sure, but it's really rewarding.
How did you develop that aspect of your game? Because not everybody, can just have that kind of knack for being in the right place at the right time or working off the tip play. But obviously what we saw with you, especially as you got better and better, the later and later we got into the year, it seemed like you have just a really good knack and that you read things really well around the crease.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's, I've always prided myself on having a high hockey IQ, and that's how I've had success at every level in hockey. And I think that just spurs from watching a ton of hockey growing up. I always found myself watching games and just trying to understand why people are scoring and stuff. And I think that propelled me to just understand where to be in the right spots on the ice at the right times. And then a lot of hand-eye work too growing up. So that's how my game really came together.
I know that Joe Pavelski, from what I saw of his time, at practice with the Sharks, and then from what some of the guys even at Dallas still tell me, is they always say that he's usually the last guy off the ice working on that tip play late, after everybody is all done. Is that something you've done? Have you just tried to find somebody to be like, hey, just throw pucks in, I need to work on this, or is that, or does not everybody want to do that at the end of the practice when you're not the captain?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's... Yeah, I definitely do that. And there's guys on the ice no matter what at the end of practice. So you just find someone that wants to put a little work in, and maybe you throw some shots up for them to tip or give them some one-timer passes. So it's a little bit of a trade-off, but there's, you know, there's usually someone out there at least willing to do that for sure.
Let me ask you, you referenced watching guys growing up. Who were your guys? Like, who were the ones that you were looking to, that you were, you know, being influenced by or looking to add aspects of their game to your game?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, Joe Pavelski is someone who was mentioned to me when I was younger, as to, you know, watch him play and try to understand what makes him so good. So he was definitely someone I watched as I was getting older. When I was younger, it was all, you know, Patrick Kane, Sidney Crosby and stuff, as every kid was. But yeah, I think Pavelski's a good guy for me to watch to this day still, but definitely someone I started watching when I was about 15, 16, 17 years old, somewhere in there. And definitely a guy I tried to understand what made him so good, and especially his tipping ability and just right place, right time, knacky mentality in front of the net too. So that was a guy I definitely watched a lot. And then obviously those guys that I mentioned when I was younger, just learning from their hockey IQ was big for me.
In terms of fighting for positioning, you know, around the crease in the AHL and then jumping up this year to the NHL level, how much different was that? Because obviously, you know, I always tell people, you know, at the AHL level, there's just as many big and strong dudes. However, the details aren't just quite as good as they are at the NHL level. So did you notice that much of a difference in fighting for position, or were you used to getting beaten on by guys?
Yeah, I mean, the AHL, obviously, you know, like you said, there's big strong guys, but some of it is the little details when you're trying to get to the front of the net, whether it's you know, like the little stick details, where they're lifting your stick, the body direction that they're pushing you to keep you out from getting good positioning in front of the net. So it's when you go against those top guys, it can be pretty shocking, just the amount of detail they have in their game and understanding how to keep a guy out of a good scoring area. But you know, at the end of the day, it's you just got to find a way and adapt. So that's what I saw.
I mean, you ended up with 7 goals and 2 assists. And like I said, it seemed like you were getting better and better as we got deeper into the year. Are you happy with that? Or are you kind of like, you know, I still need to get better. I still only played 35 games. You know, we associate the hardworking mentality with you because we're like, oh, he's the guy who's going to go in and do the dirty work. It's not like, you know, you don't have, you know, the Ovechkin skill set, for instance, and I'm not saying that as a knock to you, but it's not like you're walking into this being like, oh, my game's complete, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I was fortunate to get the opportunity I did. I think I earned it in plenty of ways with the way I played in the A, but, you know, this is a big summer for me. It was, you know, it was only a small sniff at the, you know, opportunity I could have. So it's definitely, like I said, a big summer for me, and you know, it's going to be a lot of hard work to earn my spot again and stay there.
Were there eye-opening moments, like, you know, you said guys lifting your stick, were you like, oh man, I need to hit the weight room more, or I need to do this, or I need to work on this aspect? Like, I imagine that there were learning opportunities. We celebrate the goals, but I'm sure there are moments that you're far more familiar with than we were, where you were like, man, I got, you know, pushed around. I got smoked there. I need to improve this, that, or the other thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, like you said, it's fun scoring those goals and stuff, and, you know, being able to celebrate at that level, but definitely there's, you know, small details, little battles that I've lost and stuff, just throughout games that I'm like, wow, you know, got to take a step there or whatever. But, you know, that's an important part of it. As much as celebrating is just learning, you know, what I need to keep doing to be able to stick at that level. And, you know, I think I got a pretty good image of that in my head and what I need to do this summer.
Yeah. I mean, I know that, you know, Bob Bugner was always very, very honest with the media and talking about guys' games. Was he very, very honest with you when you came up and were given an opportunity? And, you know, obviously he seems like he understands, you know, how to play the, not good cop, bad cop, but he knows how to be very realistic with players and, you know, give encouragement. Was that the experience you got?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought he was great to me, as he is to everyone. But, yeah, like you said, he's an honest guy. You know what to expect from him, the way he carries himself and, the way he talks to his players. So it's nice having him around, obviously, and being able to learn from a guy like that. So, it was really good for me to be able to come in, this being my first real year, and, you know, learn from him and get feedback from him. So, yeah, he was great.
Did you ever try and, you know, pick the minds of a Logan Couture or an Erik Karlsson or a Brent Burns? Obviously, you know, we're talking forwards and defensemen here, but, you know, these guys have so much experience at the NHL level? Or like, I don't know how it is when you come up, how comfortable you are just being like, hello, all-star and award winner. Let me steal your time now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those guys were, they were great to us younger guys, honestly, and very personal guys. And to be around those guys was just an experience in itself. But yeah, I mean, as far as learning from them, as long as you're just hanging around them, you know, you see the way they come off the ice after shifts, talking to their line mates and stuff, you're picking up things, just hearing them chat with other guys or chatting with you or watching them in practice or whatever. You're able to learn a ton of stuff from those guys. And that's what I just try to do, just be a sponge out there and just, you know, learn from their experiences.
Were you finding yourself just watching them or hearing their conversations and picking up things that you weren't even thinking to ask about? Is that kind of how it goes?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you can even just watching their habits is a big thing. And, you know, there's a reason why they're all having the careers that they had and stuff. And, you know, it's easy to see why in practice, and just even the little details in game, stick details and stuff that you don't really typically pick up on when you're watching on TV or whatever.
Yeah. Going back to just, you know, having this be your breakout year, like when you score that first goal, I mean, are you thinking back to when you were, I assume you were 18 when you got drafted, you know, in 2017 in the fourth round, like after the game, did you have a moment of reflection, or was it all so busy that you didn't really have a chance to think about it maybe till the season came to an end?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of both. It was crazy busy, and, you know, there's a lot going on, media and trying to talk to the family, but I definitely tried to do the best I could to take a few moments and just kind of reflect on, you know, everything from back when I was, you know, playing hockey as a peewee, as far as I can remember, and just think about my ride the whole way, and just really try to be appreciative to the opportunity that I got there, and you know, just reflect.
Is it kind of a trip though? Like, I would imagine that beyond the reflection, there's a point where you probably looked back and said, like, you know, I just scored a goal in an NHL game, or I've got, you know, seven at this, you know, after 35 games. Like, I have to, because like that's the dream, man. Like, everybody, you know, when you're a kid, you talk about, you know, playing in the NHL or whatever sport it is you want to go and have that success. For most people like me, it ends in high school and you end up talking about other people having success. But for you, I have to imagine, like, there was kind of that realization, like, snap, I just scored a goal.
Yeah, no, it was a realization. And, you know, as much as you dream of it going up, it's hard to actually let it sink in and feel it. So it almost just doesn't feel real till the season ended for me. Then I was able to kind of think about it, obviously. But, you know, it's a short time to think about it and enjoy it. And, you know, you just got to get right back to work, but it was for sure a great experience. And, you know, not just for me, my entire family and, all my coaches I had growing up, it was, you know, something I can share with them and really enjoy.
Yeah. I would imagine that after the family, who were you talking next? Was it coaches from the Gophers? Was it, you know, like you said, you know, juniors coaches and younger coaches from earlier in your career? Like, you know, obviously you're busy. I mean, have you had to make some phone calls once the season came to an end?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I talked to a lot of my coaches after that moment for sure. It was, you know, it's a special moment for them to be able to share that with me and with the influence they had on me. I had a lot of great coaches growing up, so I was very, very fortunate and, you know, happy to talk to them and share that moment with them. I even had a high school math teacher reach out to me, so really? that was pretty cool too, to stay in touch with her and, you know, see her following me ever since that point in my hockey career. It's pretty cool.
Is that humbling, the fact that people are still watching you, you know, beyond, you know, because obviously students grow up, they move on, but you still have people, you know, keeping an eye on you?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's pretty cool that our relationship went beyond the classroom there, and I can, you know, bring some joy to people doing what I do best. So it was a cool and humbling experience to get a text from her and just be able to chat with her about it, reminisce on old things.
So what's next for you, man? Like, when do you think you're getting back on the ice? When, or are you skating already? I mean, I know that there are plenty of rinks in Minnesota.
There are plenty of rinks. Yeah. No, I'm going to take just a couple more weeks off here off the ice. I'll probably start working out, I think, next week now, but you know, a lot of it's just going to be maintenance work to start, get the body feeling right, and then get a plan and just attack it this summer.
Right on, man. Well, I appreciate your time. It's been fun to watch your ascent. Hope to see a lot more of it in the future, and I'll be bugging you for an interview soon. All right, man.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Again, that was Scott Reedy, who time and time again found himself in the right place at the right time for the Sharks and came on strong towards the end of the season while offering a tantalizing view of the future. We will continue to check in with individual Sharks this entire offseason. Stay tuned to the Sharks Audio Network.
This podcast can be found for download under Sharks Hockey Digest on iTunes, Google, and Spotify, and on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app, presented by Western Digital. All music by Yogi Yen.
Pitcher knocked it down. Back to Burns. Shot. Score! Reedy crossed the screen in front. Burns kept the shot low. The Sharks score at 15:35 in the second to take the 3-2 lead.